Okay, well, let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19, please. Proverbs chapter 19. Just 1 minute. I got a newsletter to read a little later. 1 second. Okay. When you find your place, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word if you're able to. That's Proverbs chapter 19. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. I'll just read if you'll follow along. Proverbs 19, 1 through 5. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we think of this passage of Scripture that's before us. We ask, Lord, that you would open up our eyes and hearts to your word. Lord, that you might impress upon us truths that we need for our lives. Not truths that someone else needs, but truths that we need today that we can use that are practical in nature. We pray that you'd be with those that cannot be here and that would be. We pray that you would give them a blessing. We think of particularly of John and Margaret Weaver. Lord, we thank you for them, their testimony, their love for you. We pray that you would be with them. Think of Sister Valerie down in the States right now. We pray that you would be with her. Lord, pray that you'd be with those that are sick with the cold and flus. We just pray that you would give them healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, a couple weeks ago, when we were looking at this passage last, we read about the soul that's without knowledge, it's not good. We started into he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. Hasteneth with his feet. We talked about walking fast is not a sin. You know, a speed walker, that's not being sinful. Some people, they motor around, and some people, they kind of plod, and sometimes you both get to the same place at the same time. I know that there's been times when you're familiar with the statement there that haste makes waste, and so often we can be rushing about, and I've been many a time when I've been rushing about, and it's like, oh, where did I put my keys? Oh, where did I put this? And I leave a trail of things behind me, and I've got to go back and pick them up. Whereas if I was maybe a little bit more methodical and thought through what I was doing, maybe I wouldn't have to go back and get them. I mean, yes, it is good exercise, but that's not specifically what this is speaking of, although being hasty in spirit is. A couple of verses here. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 16. We looked at this last week, but just to kind of review, or 2 weeks ago. Proverbs 1, 16. So, being hasty to hurt people. Now, I would hope that none of us would fall into that category. But there are certainly some that do have a real desire to hurt people. And it might be with actions, it might be with words. I know there are people that seem to get a pleasure out of it. And maybe it's because they've been hurt themselves, and so they want to attack others. But we are not to be that type of person. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their paths. And these are talking about those, verse 11, that would lay wait for innocent blood without cause. And verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. They make haste to shed blood. We looked at Another area, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. Now this is intensely practical. Whereas that one there, we might say, well, I don't hasten to shed blood. I don't hasten to hurt people. Well, this is one that afflicts many people, and that is hastening to be angry. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Hastening to be angry. The scripture talks about the person that is angry is like a city where the wall is broken down. They're defenseless. We're not to hasten to be angry. It is so easy. And I've mentioned before how in my younger days, I struggled with this greatly. Areas of road rage when someone's driving and they cut you off. There's this one stretch of highway, or it's not a highway, it's a township road near my in-laws where people would pull up and kind of like a Saskatchewan farmer, they would wait until you got close enough and then they'd just amble out in front of you. You know, they'd sit there and wait and then they'd pull out in front of you. You're like, why? You know, and it get you so riled, so upset, and you'd have to put on the brakes, and sometimes there's icy roads, and you're thinking, I could put myself in the ditch. We're not to hasten to be angry. We're to be calm-spirited. We're to be slow to wrath. We know from James, the book of James, that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We're to be slow to wrath. Take a look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Let's cast out anger. I mean, the scripture says in Corinthians that we're to cast out everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ, to bring everything into captivity to Jesus. We're not to be angry people. We're not to hasten to be angry. We're also not to hasten, another area, hasten to be rich. This can be an affliction that we can want to do. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28, 20. There's all these get-rich schemes out there. And so often, you come across them, sometimes you're not even looking for them. And, you know, some little advert maybe pops up on your computer or on the sidebar on a page at Google Results, and you go, oh, wow. I could get that much money, and I don't have to put in that much effort. I mean, we are to be wise with our money. We are to invest wisely, to spend our money wisely, but we're not to hasten to be rich. That's one of the many reasons why we do not promote gambling, buying the lottery, Lotto 649. We're not to hasten to be rich. We are to labor with our hands, as the Lord says. We're to work. So Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Verse 22 of the same chapter. He that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. There's a result of trying to be rich. Poverty. I was talking with a friend who, an unsaved man who has a brother, and he gets involved in all sorts of risky ventures. And this brother, Someone here even saw this brother on television, some sort of an ad on the internet or something, and he had the appearance of, you know, being wealthy, being, you know, put together, and yet I know from my friend that this brother sometimes calls him for money. So, you know, hastening to be rich. And that's something to also bear in mind when you look at others around you. Sometimes you're thinking to yourself, look at all that they have. You know what? Half the time or more, they don't have it. The bank has it. And half the time, they're having a hard time making their payments on those things. You know, and they're anxious. They have no peace. They have no joy. Sometimes they're hiding their toys out at other people's houses so that the bailiff officers don't seize them. You know? We're not to hasten to be rich. Poverty will come upon us if we do. Again, we do have the example of the talents, the parable of the talents. We are to be wise with our money. We can invest. We ought to do it so carefully. But we're not to be looking to be rich and wealthy. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Hastening to strive. Some people really seem to enjoy strife. And usually at the heart of it is a spirit of pride, where they want to lift themselves up. They want others to see their wisdom or their knowledge. So Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Don't seek strife. Strife will find you at times. And when it does, handle it in a godly spirit. And God will help you. He will give you the things to say, the things to do. But don't seek it. Don't be looking for it. Let's go back into our text now. So some thoughts on striving. One extra thought. Someone mentioned to me a couple weeks ago an example of Abraham hastening to accomplish what he thought was God's will, you know, to have a son. And he thought basically that he would help. You'd help God. God had a perfect plan. He had a perfect time. He was going to give him Isaac in a miraculous way. And yet, Abraham went ahead of schedule and he married Hagar and had Ishmael, which has been a thorn. Their descendants have been a thorn in the side of Israel. And, you know, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited about the descendants of Ishmael. But we know the strife that has come into the world because of Abraham's sin there and his getting ahead of God, hastening to accomplish what he saw was God's will. Okay, going back into our text, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3 now. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. His heart fretteth against the Lord. Okay, that word perverteth means to wrench, to subvert, to overthrow, to pervert. The foolishness of man perverteth his way. Sometimes we get the idea that we can dabble in the world, and it won't really have an impact on our Christian life. But the reality is, it will pervert our way. You know, I'll give you an example. One would be the area of filthy magazines. And a person might think, well, this isn't going to... I'm really not hurting anybody by this. When in fact, they are. They're hurting those around them. I'm thinking of in a case of a man. If a man is into that, he's hurting his wife. If he's a married man, he's If he's not a married man, he's perverting himself, and it will have impacts if he is in a future relationship. If he does marry, it will impact him greatly. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. You can't take in wickedness, foolishness, and it not have an impact. That goes for things like filthy television shows. You know, where I've seen some before, and you think, oh, this looks wholesome, it looks okay. And then you're like, no, it's not. You know, we've picked up before, maybe at a Value Village or some secondhand store, a video, and it looked good. And we realized, no, it isn't. Turn it off, toss it. You know, it is no good. We cannot listen to filthy language. We cannot watch filthy things and it not impact us. It will. It will pervert us. It will. One of the things it does is it changes our threshold of holiness, of sanctification. When we get into God's word, the more we get into God's word, the more we get closer to God's threshold of holiness. But the more we get into the world and the filthiness of the world, the lies of this world, it lowers our threshold. And we get further and further away from God. Our fellowship with God is broken. And we cannot absorb the nutrients of his word. You know, so many people will say, well, I don't get anything out of God's word. Well, then there's a problem. It's just like a person that has an intestinal problem. And they are no longer able to absorb nutrients. They're no longer able to absorb fluids. And they're getting dehydrated. Same with a believer. If we have sin in our life, we cannot absorb the spiritual nutrition that God has for us. We cannot absorb sin and think it will not have an impact on us. So Matthew 12, 35, we read, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So it all goes back to, what are we putting in our heart? What are we laying up in our heart? Are they good things? If they're not good things, we will bring those things out. It might take a while, but in a given circumstance, a trial, someone oppresses us, someone says something mean to us, the green monster comes out. We say things we ought not to. We do things we ought not to. We have attitudes that we ought not to. Take a look in that in familiar passage, also in Matthew 15. We'll read a few verses here. Start with verse 1. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. So they're giving a gift to the temple, and the scribes and Pharisees, they would profit of it, and in turn, that person feels like they're absolved of doing their duty to their parents. And honor not their father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Now that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. I don't know if I caught that, not, verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? I find that kind of humorous. They're a little offended with you. Do you think Jesus was worried? Verse 13, but he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye yet also without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Notice verses 18 on. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and these defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. You know, when we allow that sinful nature to come in and to have place in our heart, and we think on wicked things, we counsel, we look at wicked things, that defiles us. It's kind of like, you know, you think of a motel room, how sometimes you'll get a motel room and there's an adjoining door to the next motel. In some cases, maybe you've rented both suites. We've done that before as a family. It's not getting easier with six children. We used to try to squeeze us all in, and but you know, there's fire codes and regulations, and we're no longer able to do that in one room unless it's some sort of a suite or whatever. But you know, sometimes we'll have to rent two rooms, and we'll have a door, an adjoining door between the two rooms. But then sometimes it's a total stranger, and you don't want them coming into your room, and you go and you check that door, make sure it's locked. You think about our sinful nature, kind of like an adjoining door in a sense. You don't want that. You don't want that sinful nature entering into the sanctified heart. You want to make sure that door is locked. You don't creak it open. You don't peek. You don't leave it open and see what happens. You leave it closed. You leave it barred. You slide the little chain thing. You make sure that that is not going to come into the sanctified place in your heart. You know, I think Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, ought to be one of those verses that we meditate on a daily basis as far as what we allow into our heart. I know I go there often when we're preaching, but it is so important that we filter our thoughts through this filtration system. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, as our world is getting more wicked by the day, by the minute, it could be easy for us to get wrapped up and just captivated by what is going on around us. The evil, the wickedness. And maybe some of these things are true. Maybe some of them are honest thoughts. But then we have to ask ourselves, are they just? Are they pure? Are these things that we're meditating on, are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they of good report? Are they virtuous? Virtuous is to do with moral excellence. Are they praiseworthy, if there be any praise? Are they praiseworthy? These are things we need to be thinking on. These are things we need to be laying up in our heart. Not the wickedness of the world. I mean, there has been wickedness in this world all along. We know that. We know that in the time of the early Christian church, the apostles, there was great wickedness. great immorality. It's nothing new under the sun. But we see this world is advancing towards the end, and which would be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what? We can't change it. We can be a light. We need to be a light. We need to be a salt in this world. But we need to put our trust in God. We need to say, you know what, Lord, I'm not gonna get carried away with what's gonna happen. We're finishing up the book of Revelation right now. It's good to know the framework of what's going to happen. But we don't need to be consumed with every sort of play-by-play as we reach the end. Our time needs to be spent being that light in this dark world, blazing the light of the gospel in this world. We've got to be careful about what we put in here. It needs to be things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. That's what needs to go in there. Otherwise, it will, as we tied into our text, it will pervert our way. If it's anything less than that, it will pervert our way. It will change us. It will take us away from God. It will, again, lower that threshold of holiness. Okay, well, we'll end there, and we'll pick it up, Lord willing, next week, halfway through verse 3. The heart that fretteth against the Lord. Right, Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we pray that each one of us would be careful not to hasten with our feet, not to hasten to hurt people, not to hasten to strive, not to hasten to be rich, not to hasten to be angry, not to hasten to accomplish what we think is your will, but to wait patiently. Lord, we pray that you would help us in the area of what we store up in our heart, what we think on, what we focus on. Lord, that it would be things that are true, honest, lovely, just, virtuous, praiseworthy. Lord, that we would run it through this filtration system and think on those things that we ought to. Lord, we pray that you would be with the rest of our day, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you. Meet our needs, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.